With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Who should Tampa Bay fans be more worried about? The Rays, who have injuries and some wobbly pitching, or the Lightning, who have lost 5 of 7 and can't seem to score any goals? And what, if anything, should happen to Carlton Davis after he apologized for using an anti-Asian racial slur? We'll discuss all that and more with Tom Jones, my former radio partner, longtime columnist of the Tampa Bay Times, now with the Poynter Institute on this edition of Sports Day Tampa Bay. I'm Rick Stroud of the Tampa Bay Times, along with producer Steve Versnick. And, you know, Tom, I mean, it looks like when the Rays have Tyler Glass now, maybe even Ryan Yarbrough on the mound, they may be okay, more than okay with Glass now, I think. But you have a pitching staff that at least the first time through, and I know we're only into the second series of a very long season, but the guys they acquired, none of them pitched very well. We've got bullpen issues with Nick Anderson out. But then you have the Tampa Bay Lightning, who can't seem to score. I mean, I have never seen anything like this. I mean, this Lightning team, sure, you lost Nikita Kucherov. You figured at some point somebody had to make up those, you know, 60 points or whatever. But, I mean, my goodness, I was at the game Sunday. They had a backup goaltender. They, you know, virtually almost got shut out except for a goal by Hedman. Stamkos has gone the last, what, 6, 7, 8 games. Kalorn hadn't scored. I mean, all these guys are kind of in a slump. And the thing is, I mean, you can say, yeah, you know, again, they're not starting the playoffs tomorrow. But there's got to be some concern with this hockey team. You can't just say, you know, well, we have a good team. We'll get better. We'll figure our way out of it.
You know what it reminds me of? When I was a little kid growing up in Pennsylvania, we used to have a basement, and you had to go down these like long steps and then to go back into the laundry room, which was in the back corner of our basement. And my mom would tell me at night when I was real little, hey, can you go down and pick up like the towels or whatever out of the dryer? And I used to be scared of the basement, but I'd open it and I'd walk down the first 2 or 3 steps and I'm like, okay, this isn't so bad. You know, like everything's fine. It's a little scary, but I'm okay. And then you get about halfway down the steps. Next thing you know, you're running and going, and you're screaming. And that's the way I feel about this Lightning team, is that they were like,
they're headed to the basement.
They were like the first few losses there. We're like, everything's fine. They'll get it together. No big deal. And now all of a sudden you're looking up. I looked at the score the other night, last night, and it's, they're playing Columbus. It's 2-0. It's 3-0. And I'm like, what the heck is going on? I'm with you, Rick. It's gone from being okay, no big deal, to not panic time, but like, this isn't working. This isn't gonna work come playoff time. I know, and you just mentioned we're not close to the playoffs. They have a lot of time to work this stuff out, but this isn't going as swimmingly as it was supposed to be going, or as well as it was going a couple, a month or 6 weeks or 8 weeks ago. So I don't know. I'd be concerned if I'm them.
I mean, my experience in covering sports and playing them to some extent is that when anybody says it's not time to panic, it's time to panic. I mean, that's the definition. You know, don't push the panic button. Oh, here it is right here, and I got my hand on it, you know. that's just sort of the way I feel about this hockey team. We know how talented they are. We know what they did last year, all of that. I think they've got some injuries on defense that have certainly hurt them.
That's the key right there.
But the thing is, the defense isn't the issue right now, although you can't give up 4 and 5 goals a game. You know, I mean, that's hard to score, you know, 5 to win. So I think it does start with the defensive structure and things like that. But you've seen this team get into the habit of, you know, not getting pucks deep, not shooting it enough, not going to the net. You know, their fourth line has carried them. Your fourth line, as good as it is with Maroon and those guys, it should not be the line that's outscoring everybody else.
No, not at all. And what I say, the defense is part of the problem. I think what happened, they missed McDonough for a while, and they missed some other people on the back end.
Chernak.
And I think where you miss them, where you don't actually see it all the time or you don't think of it, is that those guys are the first pass out of their own zone. Those are the guys that actually generate the offense in a lot of cases. And when you had a lot of these young guys back there who just are still feeling their way into the NHL, I think they were a little scrambly in their own end. Because usually with this team, with any good hockey team, the offense actually starts in your own end with the defense. And so that's been a little bit of an issue. But I'm with you, Rick. I mean, it's, you know, when you have guys, and this is where you're starting to miss Kucherov. This is where Nikita Kucherov makes a big deal, because there are nights, and this happens for every NHL team, there are nights where the Washington Capitals are just okay. But Alex Ovechkin will say, okay, you know, look out here. Hand me my cape.
Get on my back.
Right. Yeah. And let me take over for the next seven shifts, and I'll score two goals and set up another. And that's enough to win a game. And maybe you're not playing well, but you can survive those down moments because of a great player. They're missed. Now, Stamkos can be great at times. Braden Point can be great at times. But Kucherov's a special player. He's above all those other guys. Here's the thing, though, too, Rick, and I keep hearing this a lot around town. And it's, hey, when Kucherov comes back, everything's going to be, you know, hey, it's like trading making a trade deadline deal. Well, look, he hasn't played in a while. And who's to say when he's coming back and how healthy he's going to be and how long it'll take him to get back into the swing of things. You're hopeful, you're optimistic that he's going to come back and help, but you can't be counting. That can't be the plan going forward.
No, I agree with you. And the thing is, when Ross Colton is getting your goals the kid's got, good for him, he's got six, right?
Sure.
And he looks like he's going to stick around a long time. He's a good-looking player on your fourth line, which, again, you love to have that grit, you know, on that fourth line, and you love him to be productive. But it you're not getting anything else. I mean, and I hate to say it. I mean, look, Steven Stamkos is their superstar on this hockey team right now.
Braden
Point, right, obviously. But are we starting to see, you know, they played a lot of games in a short amount of time, Tom.
Yeah.
They had to condense this season. They were playing every other day. Are we starting to see a little fatigue? They won the Stanley Cup. They went further than anybody else. They played the longest season along with Dallas. Well, Dallas sure didn't figure it out. They have had a horrible start to their season and may not make the playoffs. Who knows? So, you know, you've always said it's tough on those teams that go all the way. How about one that goes all the way and then, you know, starts a condensed season? I mean, there's something more than just, you know, we got to get back.
It's a bad stretch.
And this is what you always hear, right?
Right.
With the Lightning or anybody else, like, well, we got to get back to doing, staying within our structure and getting pucks deep and going hard. Like, if it were that easy, they all watch film, right?
Right.
Like, you can see, well, we haven't practiced. Oh, really? You haven't practiced? Really? Well, you need
everybody's in the same boat here. The only thing you can hope for, and I don't even know if this is it, but I think you touched on a little bit there. The only thing you can hope for if you're the Lightning is that, okay, you come off the Stanley Cup, you start the season, you got excited because it was fun hockey again. You're actually playing in different arenas. Now you have some fans a little bit.
Some people are there.
Right. Yeah. So there's a little bit more of a buzz. It wasn't like playing in a bubble last year in Toronto. Then all of a sudden, now the dog days are setting in for a little bit. Like, you know you're going to make the playoffs. You lost early season buzz. But I'm just spitballing here. I don't know that that's it. I don't know that that's it. Maybe it could be you're starting to see the same teams. Other teams are starting to figure out things against you because you're playing the same teams over and over again. They're starting to catch a
and
little
they
bit
have
of
more
trip.
Urgency because a lot of these teams are trying to decide, are they contenders, are they sellers, or do they're going to make the playoffs? You know, they got to make a push now because they're running out of time.
Sure, yeah, you're playing a Columbus team that's pretty desperate, and Tortorella's fighting for his job. But at the same, I don't want to hear all that. You're supposed to be the elite team in the league. You're supposed to be. You were number one in the power rankings, everybody's power rankings all season until about 2 weeks ago, and now everybody else has started looking around like, maybe this isn't, for whatever reason, whatever stretch they're going through, they're not the best team in the league right now. It doesn't feel like it. And I tell you what, Rick, I'm looking at these teams. You know, I get the NHL package, so every night I'll flip around and start watching some of these. There's some really good teams out there. Like, if you think you're just, okay, let's just survive and get to the playoffs, and then you're going to turn it on come playoff time, and you're going to roll through some of these teams that you might have to run into at some point, like a Washington, that North Division, or the Northeast, or whatever they call it, the division with Washington and the Islanders and Boston and Pittsburgh, like, those teams are good. And the Canadian division with the Toronto Maple Leafs, that's a really good team too. This is going to be a really competitive playoffs postseason, it's going to be a lot of fun. Let me ask you a question, because somebody brought this up the other day. I actually hate this idea, but some people have, I think you're gathering momentum for it. They like this format, playing the same teams, building up rivalries. You're seeing a lot of the same teams over and over again. I think it's worked out well for the other divisions, more so than the division that the Lightning are stuck in, because there's some, let's face it, there's some dog teams in there that aren't a whole lot of fun to watch. I don't think you can go with this permanently, right?
No way. And I understand that, like, you know, because Florida is suddenly good and the Lightning are good, and that's a, you know, a nice, you know, two teams from the same state, let's have a rivalry type deal. But Florida isn't always good.
Right.
And, you know, they're just good right now. And you know, it's funny because you thought that maybe the Lightning were catching a break. Turns out Carolina and Florida are two of the best teams in the East.
Yeah.
Carolina
knows, seems to play well against the Lightning too. They've figured out the Lightning a little bit. Yeah.
And they're going to see one of those teams in the postseason at some point, and probably earlier than later, depending on where they finish. So I think, you know, there is a sense that when you play a team twice in 3 days or 2 days or whatever it is, that it kind of takes on sort of a playoff feel. Sort of a, you know, okay, they won last night. Now we're really desperate. We got to make the adjustment, you know. And it's a big, they're big games, right? Because you're talking about, you know, a 4-point swing here on those nights when you're playing them. But I just miss the variety. I miss seeing the different players throughout the league that you don't get to see. I don't want to watch another Florida Carolina type game. You know, I'm tired of it.
You can't have a league where the like Alexander Ovechkin doesn't come to town, or Connor McDavid,
exactly,
or Austin Matthews, or Sidney Crosby, yeah, or whatever. And
exactly.
So, or if you're a Canadian team, you can't have a league where the Stanley Cup champions.
You want to see the Stanley Cup champions?
Aren't
you want
coming
to see the
to
Lightning?
Town, right? Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. So that's what.
How
that's
do you
what
measure
I
yourself?
To. But I wouldn't mind them if they did a little more home and home, like series, or
yeah.
I mean, they do a little bit of that, all, you know, pre-COVID anyway. But it would be a little bit of fun to see. Hey, let's have the Lightning and the Red Wings play 3 times in 2 weeks or something like that. You know,
right.
Put up the schedule that way, because there is some. I do like a little bit of the sort of the animosity gets built up between teams after they've played each other a couple of games in a row.
Yeah, no, I get all that, and it does have a sort of a playoff feel, but who are we kidding? It's not the playoffs, and, you know, right now they've had to do it out of necessity, and I think these teams are tired. I think the Lightning's tired, and I think they got some guys. I mean, it's a mixture, but they got some guys with some age on them, you know?
Yeah,
and
I think a lot of wear and tear on them. Played a lot of hockey.
Yeah, and I think it's starting to catch up to them, the condensed schedule. The fact that, like you said, they know they're going to make the playoffs. These other teams are pushing a little bit harder, but the scoring drought part of it. I mean, you've covered these teams. Do teams just, you just can't buy it, and then you're squeezing the sticks? I mean, what?
I don't know. Not really. I mean, the thing that would, I'd almost feel better about this team if they were losing a bunch of 6-5 games,
right?
You know, if they were losing, but they were just sort of out there playing pond hockey, you know, and it felt like, okay, when the playoffs come, they'll lock it down and start paying attention to defense. But now, they're playing okay defensively. Well, I'm not going to say they're playing okay defensively. They're not giving up a ton of goals, mostly because they have the best goalie on the planet. Mm-hmm. I think that's another thing, too. Boy, they sometimes need to figure that out, because it's a they do get sloppy in front of Vasilevsky because they know he's so good.
They have such bad habits.
Yeah, I don't like the way they're playing. I'm with you, Rick. I just, as much as we can sit here and say, okay, maybe – all it takes is going to be, you know, it's the old hockey thing. Oh, we just need a puck to go off somebody's rear end, and it'll break the drought. But I don't know, when you're going through these long stretches and not scoring goals, that's more concerning to me than giving up a bunch of goals, because you can fix that.
I would agree. I mean, and I think these other teams have figured them out a little bit, and I, you know, I mean, each team plays different. Detroit, they pack as many people in the crease as they can, you know, just get a ton of guys, you know, near the goaltender, and you're not going to get a rebound. They block all their shots, and, you know, the Lightning are trying to, you know, to go east west all the time, and it's just, they've lost their structure, whatever that structure was, and they're a frustrated team right now.
Yeah, no doubt, no doubt, they are playing frustrated hockey. It's it's just going to be one of those things until they either start winning again or they get to a point where it's like the games start to get a little scary, start to matter. You know, I don't think they have to worry about standings or anything, but
no, they're going to make the playoffs. It may not be on top, you know, of this division, but
what's a little concerning though is too, like if you were running into buzzsaws, like, oh, you have this, if it were a normal season and all of a sudden you have like, we've both covered these type of things, Rick, either in baseball where, you know, all of a sudden the Rays have to play the Yankees and the Red Sox, just back when the Red Sox were really good, and the Blue Jays. And it's a tough, and then you come home and play those three teams again. Or like when I covered the Lightning back in the day, and you would have to, you play Philadelphia one night and Pittsburgh the next night, and you have a day off and you play Toronto and then Montreal, and every team was good. You can say, okay, you're going to have, but I mean, they got beat by Detroit recently. Columbus isn't great, I don't think.
That's, you know, the thing.
You're
That's
running the into thing. Teams that you should be wiping up on, you know, and you're not making any hay against those teams. So,
right. And the thing about Detroit, like, you know, that while they had a rookie goaltender in the one game, and I saw that one, but they just, you know, that was not a fluke. Like, Detroit outplayed them, I thought.
Yeah, and I know what,
well, they didn't play bad, but like,
yeah, they beat like it was Detroit's first win in Tampa Bay, like in 18 games or something.
Oh yeah, they won 17 in a row. Yeah,
but at the same time, it's like, yeah, you didn't play well. Like, you deserve to lose that game against a bad hockey club. And I realize they're NHL players, and they're going to have nights where they play well. But I don't know. Like I said, if you look at this Lightning team, if you're really being honest, and you look at this Lightning team, and you think, oh, no problem, everything's fine, they'll be fine, I think you're kidding yourselves. I think there's some issues, and they need to fix them. I think they can. I think they will. But until they do, you can't look at them and say, oh, this is no big deal. It is a little bit of a deal.
But, Tom, you know this too, that your best players have to play the best. And when Luke Shen, who has his first goal of the night, is one of your two goals against Columbus and you lose 4-2, it's not a good thing. You know, Luke Shen and Ross Colton scored, and no one else did.
No, it's not good.
Not good. So that brings me to the Rays. And the Rays.
Okay, that's a team I'm really actually
season.
I'm actually more nervous about the Rays, but go ahead.
Okay, well, that's the answer to the question then.
Yeah.
And the question was just that. But now it's sort of, you know, disingenuous to sit here and go, well, you know, the Lightning have plenty of time. We're not in the playoffs. That, you know, they obviously have a good record and they're a good hockey team and all that. And these guys have played like all of one series complete so far. You know, they're still waiting on series number two to complete itself. So there's that. However, this team has always, this whole franchise has always been built on pitching and defense, run prevention, not accumulation. So, I don't think much has changed. That's the Rays' way. And the reason is that if you had a guy like Barry Bonds back in the day, you couldn't afford him anyway, right? So they find pitchers. They find them in bulk. They get guys on the way up, on the way down, and they put together great arms and great defense, and they win.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Now, when I look at, you know, this pitching staff, and I realize they've all been one time through, you know, through the rotation, but outside of Tyler Glass now, who's lights out, his stuff is wicked. I mean, the guy's, you know, wouldn't surprise me if he's a Cy Young candidate before it's over if he pitches like this every day.
Right.
And I don't know what you're going to get from Ryan Yarbrough, except he's won a lot of baseball games, and he's the opposite of Glass now, and lefty, doesn't throw hard, but, you know, gets outs and whatever.
Sure.
After that, I mean, Rich Hill, no. Chris Archer, hell no. Mm-mm. You know, Colin McHugh.
Michael Wacha.
Yeah, Michael Wacha, who is their best, really their best chance of a reclamation project, in my opinion. I know it's one time through. But here's the thing. You don't have Anderson and Nick Anderson in the bullpen.
Oh, there's the problem. Keep going. You're hitting a problem now.
And you have very little depth, you know, for those late innings when you do have a lead. So
and no Anderson, no the Sheriff, you know, is on leave or whatever
it
is.
A restricted leave, whatever that was. Yeah.
And then you got Rowe now is on the injured list, you know, out for a while. So
Chaz Rowe's gone. So it's Diego Castillo, who you like. Mm-hmm. You know, there's about two or three guys I would feel comfortable with in a high leverage situation. And here's the thing. You can't pitch them every night.
No.
They just can't pitch every night. So no depth in the bullpen. No real designated closer, although, you know, Diego has done it the most so far. And the starting staff, I'm telling you, outside of Tyler Glasnow, I mean, at least last year you could say, okay, like Snell, like Glasnow, you know, like Charlie freaking Morton, pretty good. And then we'll see who we get in after that, whether it's the opener or whatever. But, man, I mean, I don't know. I just – they're not going to outscore people, I guess.
Well, that's the only hope they have, Rick, because I actually like their lineup. I think their lineup's okay with Brandon Lau and Rosarena and Austin Meadows is going to have a tremendous year.
He's off to a good start don't play him in right field.
No, I think he's going to – but I think he's going to be back to his 30 home runs, 100 RBIs type season. Yandy Diaz, I like. G-Man will eventually come back. I like him. So I need him
like yesterday.
Yeah. No, I like their – so I like their offense. I think they'll be able to put up some runs. But I'm with you. I'm really worried about this pitching staff. And, you know, and here we go again. Kiermaier on the injured list again. It's seriously, I mean, it just wears me out, man. I mean,
that's the story of his career, Tom.
He's just KK doing KK things, man. And if he can't play hard, then if he's not on the IL, he's doing something wrong.
Every day he's hustling.
Every day. But here's to the trainer's room. Oh, man. And I feel bad because he's a nice guy and he plays hard and he tries hard. But
nobody wants to get hurt.
Nobody wants to get hurt. Right. But I like the offense. I'm worried about their pitching. And I'm worried a little worried about their defense. So it's a concern. And I'm telling you what, Rick, that the Yankees are really good. I mean, they're really good.
Well, and that's you say you know you like their offense. My thing is this: I don't care how good it is. You're not going to outslug the Yankees.
Probably not.
You're not going to outslug Toronto.
No.
You know, if you got to go to them, you know, run for run and outscore teams with you got to outscore teams anyway. But I mean, like,
no, I know
you
got to
outslug them 8-7 or, you know, 7-6 or whatever. Hell, they've barely been able to do that against the Red Sox who aren't a good hitting team right now. So I tend to think that like their DNA has to stay their DNA. And if you've got guys down on the farm, I keep hearing about, you know, how deep they are. Mm-hmm. Don't wait to bring them up, you know, like let's get them up here and see what they can do because you're going to need those guys. We knew they're going to need them at some point. I think it's going to be sooner than later because you don't want to start off, you know, 3-7. You know, they've got a homestand against the Yankees and then Texas. So we'll see how that goes, but you can't pitch Glasnow and Yarbrough every game. In fact, I don't think that they'll start the series necessarily. So we'll see how it goes. But I'm with you. I think you'd be a little more concerned about the Rays. We pretty much know what the Lightning are. I do think at some point when they get some guys back on defense, maybe get some rest. I don't know if any days off are in the future or not, but they certainly look like a tired hockey team. And, you know, so we'll see. Hey, I'll let you go on this. There was one other thing that happened this week, and I kind of want to get your thoughts about it. Let me just say off the start, you know, you were a columnist for many, many years with Tampa Bay Times and you still, you know, write for Pointer, but I think you're familiar with a lot of hate mail, right? The hater nation out there.
Yeah, absolutely.
Even threatening letters like the one I got the other day.
Did you really?
Yeah.
No surprise.
Not good. When they threaten bodily harm, that's where I kind of turn them in. You know, I'm like,
yeah, okay. No, it's not good.
When you're going to do that. But and it was for reporting what became a story, which was, you know, Carlton Davis on his Instagram or Twitter, one of his social media platforms, used a slur that's an anti-Asian slur.
Right.
That begins with a G. And according to him, he was unfamiliar that this was even a thing. He believed it in Miami or thereabouts.
to mean something totally different, something benign, you know, and seemed really surprised and sort of combative that it was pointed out to him, like, yo, who, you know, that's right. That is not a good word to be using. And at first his reaction was sort of along the lines of, oh, you guys reporters are always looking for a story, you know?
Yeah.
And here's what I think it means. Well, he got a quick education about that word and apologized. You know, say he didn't mean to hurt people and he has eliminated it from his vocabulary, mm-hmm. and so on and so yep. forth. You read the Bucks statement from Jason Light. Is that enough? I mean, obviously, I know Carlton Davis a little bit. I don't think he walks around with hate in his heart. Mm-hmm. He's a guy that's on their social justice committee and, you know, has never been – I've never heard him say bad things about anyone. But I don't know him, you know. But,
right,
but
yeah, sure.
By the same token, the part of me believes that for whatever reason, he may not have been aware, which is no excuse, by the way. Okay.
Yeah. No, officer, I didn't know going 110 on the Leroy Sullivan Expressway was
wrong. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Offensive is offensive, whether you're aware of it or not. Okay.
Right.
So let's just get that out there. What else should he do? What else can he do? And, you know, what did you make of the whole sort of his reaction and the reaction to his apology?
I find it hard to believe that he didn't know it was a slur, but let's give him the benefit of the doubt. Let's say he didn't realize. You know, it's funny, not funny, but it's interesting that the Miami Heat player recently that was caught on like playing a video game and he used an anti-Semitic,
right?
Semitic slur.
Yeah.
And I remember talking to some people, and there were some people who said, I didn't realize that was a slur. Like, I didn't know that was a bad word. Mm. And I that stunned me as well. But
yeah.
There was people who said, like, who had sort of no stake in the, you know, in the conversation or in the controversy, who said, yeah, I didn't realize that was not a word. You know, I didn't realize it was a bad mm-hmm. word. This, okay, I find it hard to believe, but let's give them the benefit of the doubt on that. It doesn't make it any better in terms of it was offensive. And so I hated his statement too. It was the first two sentences of his statement. The first word, the first sentence was, I would never offend any group of people. Okay. Well, sorry. You did. You just did. You just, whether you meant to or not, don't right. say you never would because you already did.
Right.
And then the next sentence, just, I don't know who wrote it, who came up with it. You reporters can look for another story to blow up. No, you know what? I'm going to blow this one up because it was wrong. You can't say that word, ignorance or whatever. It doesn't matter. You can't tell me that which stories to blow up. Beyond that, he went on to explain, look, I didn't realize what the word meant. We need to help each other, you know, during these tough times. Blah, blah, blah. That was a little bit better. I didn't like the Bucks Jason Light statement at all. I don't know who wrote it. I don't know if Jason Light signed it. So that's all I need to know. But nowhere in there does he say we condone these words. No, in there is the word Asians.
We don't. You mean we don't condone them? We condemn them.
We condemn them. Yeah, I condemn them. Sorry. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Nowhere in there did he say, you know, we condemn these words. It shouldn't. It was wrong. Shouldn't have been said. I mean, all that basically said was we spoke to Carlton. And then their second sentence, like, he's an active member of our social justice player board. Like, what is all that? What are you doing with that? You need to come out and say, look, this was wrong. What he said. We're going to speak to him. Okay, fine. But we condemn what he said. We're going to work with him, and we apologize to all our fans, but particularly our Asian fans. Like that, the word sorry or apology never appeared in Jason Light's statement. I think it should have. Beyond that, though, Rick, I don't know what you do. I mean, I don't think it's – you don't get rid of him. I don't think you kick him off the team.
No,
suspend him. I don't know. I mean, do you
– No,
I don't know that you can let it go.
I don't know that that I really even meant that when I asked the question. I guess it's more about, you know, it's an opportunity, you know, for everybody, you know, to be educated about such things. But also for him in particular, he has a platform. And, you know, and people, you know, I get plenty of letters and so do you. It's like, oh, here we go. You know, one word and, you know, the left.
Cancel culture and blah, blah, blah. Yeah.
Yeah, all that stuff. It's not what I'm talking about. What I guess what I'm saying is, you know, we are living in real time in the context of it being anti-Asian. There are people, 60-year-old women, getting punched out in the streets
of major cities right now for no reason.
Right.
Other than the fact that they look Asian and the coronavirus originated in China. And that's the only
thing. And the former president made a big deal about it. Yeah.
Right. And so, I mean, you know, there is assaults more than we even realize going on in this country against Asian people. And it's horrible. And it needs to stop. And so in that context, you know, to say that at this time in our society right now is probably, you know, more than working against him, but it's an opportunity for him because he has a platform, you know, to take this now and, you know, fight against, you know, any kind of slurs against races and people. And, you know, I think it's an opportunity, I guess.
I agree with you. I think it's an opportunity.
Because I think I know Carlton, yeah. and I think he'll use it that way. I hope.
Yeah. Let's hope so. And let's hope that some more people with the Bucks get involved in this, because I'm just telling you, the immediate statement that he gave and the immediate statement that Jason Light gave, I didn't like either one of them. I thought both were a little. I like Carlton. It's oddly enough, I like Carlton Davis's a little bit better, just because he eventually got around to, I didn't realize what the term was, but now that I do, I'll never use it again. And you know, it's we need to focus on people. He actually mentioned Asian people in his apology, yes, or in his explanation. So I think their initial reactions though weren't great, and hopefully they'll improve from here. But I agree with you. I think it's something that can be a teaching moment. I don't think anybody should be suspended. I don't know if the NFL gets involved in any way, Rick, as far
as a fine.
I don't think so. It's hard to just let it go totally. How do you look at your Asian community fans and say, yeah, he said it, but we're not going to do anything about it?
Right? Well, you say you're sorry over and over again, and then, like I said, I think you use the platform to somehow combat all racism when you can and all slurs. And I don't know. I don't know what Carlton will ultimately do. I would agree with you that when you're writing a statement about someone who's done something wrong, your first instinct should not be to defend the player that said something wrong.
Right. If you said it, you can't say you reporters are making a big deal out of this. And by the way, for every, Carlton Davis may have written his own apology for all I know, but if he hadn't, can we just stop this part? I apologize to anyone that was offended. That's everybody says that. Now you're turning it on to people who were offended. Like, I apologize because you were offended. That's not what it is. I just say I apologize and then put a period there. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. I'm sorry I offended you. Period. Right. Don't say I'm sorry for the people who were offended. As if, well, not.
Well, you don't know who was offended. I mean, I think everybody was offended by it.
I would hope everybody was offended by it, you know, but. Yeah.
But the fact is, not everybody is.
Well, clearly, you know? Because I'm sure you, like I said, I saw the tweet. I saw the reactions to some of the tweets, and I'm sure you got reaction. You and I haven't spoken since, but I'm sure you have. The original statements by him and by Jason Light, I wasn't crazy about, but it is a, I think they, you would hope that they want to do better or fix this the best they can. And this can be a teaching moment, like you said. Rick, if I'm the league, I at least got to kick around the idea of fining him or something. I don't know
what'll happen. I sometimes that does occur, but I don't sense any momentum for that. So
I can't remember now what happened with Deshaun Jackson and when he had his incident, or Riley Cooper when he had his.
I think they have fined players before for certain things.
I don't know. Again, I don't know if the difference being that, you know, like Roddy Cooper, clearly that's a word he should have known, or I'm sure did know.
When it's caught on, if there's video.
Yeah, no, that's true too. So, well, this was written. Worse, but this word was written.
Yeah,
I mean, we could read it.
I know.
No, I get what you're saying. So.
Yeah. Well, it's been a great discussion. So now what's going on with the newsletter at pointer.org?
So I have two things that I talked about recently. One, I brought up the Aaron Rodgers. Have you watched Aaron Rodgers on Jeopardy the first couple nights?
I have. It was hilarious, the one question that the guy one guy asked about.
He didn't know. Yeah, he didn't know the answer. The guy didn't know the answer to the final Jeopardy. So he wrote down
bid zero.
Yeah, he bid zero, and he wrote down like who thought it was a good idea to kick the field goal. And Aaron Rodgers said, you know, actually that should be the right answer. It's correct, but not for this particular question.
I thought he was a little. To answer your question, I thought he was a little dry. You know,
that's the complaint I'm getting that I've heard from people. But the thing is, I think that's just who he is. He's Mr. Cool. He's kind of laid back, kind of Mr. Cool. You know, and yeah, low energy, but. I'm telling you, Rick, from everything I hear, I read this big article in The Ringer the other day. He wants that job. He wants to do it.
He wants it desperately. In fact, he's campaigning for it now.
He is.
He's on social media telling people, please watch it. Ratings matter. You know, I really want to do this. And he made it clear he's not ready to walk away from the NFL.
Right.
You know, most of all after last year's MVP season. So his idea and his goal and belief is that he could do both. That
right.
He could tape a whole bunch of shows in the off season to be aired year round.
The way he figured the math he's done on it is that they take 46 days to film a year of Jeopardy. 46 mm-hmm. days. Last year, 2020, he had 176 days off. So he said, mm-hmm. I could easily in 46 days,
right?
You know, in 176 days, film 46 days of those. So.
Right.
You know, one real quick thing about Aaron Rodgers, too, real quick, is this whole act he's pulling now with like, the future's out of my hands. I don't know what's going to happen. Doesn't it feel like he's basically begging his way out of Green Bay, but he doesn't want to be the bad guy as he leaves town? Like, it's, you know, I love playing here, but it's really out of my hands. He's so passive aggressive about it. I like the guy. I like him on Jeopardy. I want to like him as a guy, but he's so passive aggressive in how he's handling this whole thing with the Packers, making it seem like, everybody wants to be Brady. Everybody wants to go somewhere where they get help thrown around them.
Well, I think you just nailed it. I mean, I think he wants to be Tom Brady, and I believe, you know, let's not forget they drafted his successor. They drafted Jordan Love when he's sitting here screaming for help. At receiver on the offensive line.
I don't blame him, but I'm just saying
it.
This whole thing of this narrative of now of like, it's out of my control. Like, it really is. I really don't have it. First off, that's not true. It is in your control. You could march into Green Bay right now and say, I want out, and they would probably do it. But I think it's almost like he wants to break up with his girlfriend, but he doesn't want to be the one. He doesn't want to be the bad guy and break up. So he's trying to get her to break up.
He wants her to pull the plug. Yeah. Yeah.
And so then when he walks away, he can.
Well, here's the thing. Here's the thing. If we're going to carry this, you know, this bachelor thing on a little further, you know, his partner is already looking at other people. I mean, like I said,
true.
They drafted Jordan Love. So they're dating and it's only a matter of time, but they got to see what they have in the kid.
But so, you know, I don't blame them. I don't blame the Packers. We sit here.
Listen, they didn't blame. I mean, you didn't blame them when they drafted him and Brett Favre was
right.
still there. But how did that finish? How did that end up?
It ended up just the same way. But here's the thing: like when Brett Favre left, somehow he was the bad guy in Green Bay for a while. You know,
that made no sense to me. And then I think Aaron Rodgers doesn't want to be the bad guy. I agree.
That's exactly right.
But here's the thing: just like did Tom Brady want to be the bad guy leaving New England? I mean, what happened was.
Well, but
Brady
had enough
anymore.
Credit. Brady had enough credit built up that no one could when he left, no one could say like, "Well, he left us."
Well, he didn't have a contract. He fought to get himself a free agent, and this is what's going to happen to Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers' contract is going to run out at some point soon,
right?
And when it does, he'll be a free agent. So if Aaron Rodgers wants to leave, all he has to do is not sign another contract with the Packers, and quite frankly. They may not offer him one.
They may not, he would be pleased with because he wouldn't look like the bad guy. And the other thing with Brady.
I didn't leave Green Bay. They left me.
Right. Yeah. And Brady could walk away and say, look, I gave you 20 years of the greatest football you've ever seen.
Oh, yeah. Six
that
Super
the
Bowls,
league
right.
has ever seen. You know,
right.
Not just you've ever seen. The league has ever seen. Anybody in the history of the world has ever seen. So,
I got it all mapped out. Brady's going to play one or two more years. And when he goes. Aaron Rodgers will be the quarterback of the Bucs. There. Done.
That's awesome. We got to close on that. Good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody. Tip your waitress. All right. Tom Jones, check him out, pointer.org, and has a newsletter every day. It's must reading for everybody. Thanks, Tommy.
Thanks, Rick.
On tomorrow's show, we'll head to Butler Cabin in Augusta, where the Masters is set to begin, without Tiger Woods in attendance. Of course, he was in that accident a couple of weeks, or maybe it's a month and a half ago now. So, and Tom Jones will be back on the show on Friday, but tomorrow from Butler Cabin, we'll be joined by Bob Herrig, former Tampa Bay Times writer, now ESPN.com's golf writer. So he'll join us to preview the Masters on tomorrow's show. For Tom Jones and Rick Stroud, I'm Steve Verstick. Have a great day.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.